This meeting is now being recorded.
So hello and welcome to the Collections Reporting Template, or the CRT, training. We thank you for being part of our WebEx today, and we know that your time is valuable. The material that we're gonna go over is very technical, and some could possibly say boring, but let's hope that's not how you see it. We'll do our best to keep it interesting. So hopefully you've gotten your cup of coffee, your tea, your water, whatever you need to try to stay awake through the next couple of hours. Let's go ahead and get started. So we're going to ask everyone to please put your phones on mute. Otherwise, we can hear everyone that's talking in the background, and if necessary, we can mute the entire line for everyone. We ask that you don't put us on hold because we can hear the hold music and it causes distractions to some of the folks that are trying to listen. Also, if you could submit your questions through the chat on your WebEx to me, I'm Donna Newman, and we will address all of the questions at the end of the training. And if we're not able to answer the questions at this time, we will submit answers to you in writing. So let's go ahead and review the agenda. I'd like to introduce our presenters today. Like I said, I'm Donna Newman. I'm the budget supervisor for the Funds and Revenue Unit. You'll also be hearing from Maria Lira. She's a senior fiscal analyst here in the Funds and Revenue Unit. And from the Franchise Tax Board, Rashawn Anderson will be presenting. And Valerie Rainin is, I believe, on the line as well. A little bit later on, in about 10, 20 minutes, we're going to bring up an Excel version of the CRT that was sent to you, and we'll go over the data. So feel free to open the CRT that was sent to you and follow along on a second screen if possible, so that maybe you can see your WebEx as well as the CRT at the same time. So we have some goals. Penal Code 1463.010 required the Judicial Council to develop performance measures and benchmarks to review the effectiveness of the Cooperative Court and County Collections Program. The requirements for Government Code 68514 is what led to the revised CRT that you all saw last year. It is the same CRT that we will be reviewing and looking at today. Maria will lead us through a step-by-step process of entering data into the CRT, and then the Franchise Tax Board will also take you through a step-by-step presentation on calculating the information on their report and how to enter it into the CRT. And lastly, we'll go over the deadlines for the reports to the legislature and due dates for your submittal of the CRT to the Judicial Council. If you're feeling overwhelmed, don't be. We're all here to assist. So, Maria, would you like to start in?
Yes. Thank you, Donna. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on today's session, our second and final session of this training. For those of you that are new to collections, I'd like to start by providing some background information on the annual reporting requirement. So back in 2008, in response to the amendment to Penal Code Section 1463.010, the Judicial Council adopted performance measures, the corresponding benchmark, collections best practices, and a collections report, or CRT for short. On an annual basis, the collections information reported on the CRT by the 58 programs is submitted to the legislature as mandated. Then, in 2014, the Legislative Analyst Office published a report that was titled Restructuring Quarterly Debt Collections Process in California Courts. In this report, the LAO noted that they found it difficult to comprehensively evaluate and compare the performance of the existing collections program due to a lack of complete, consistent, and accurate reporting. Well, we think that perhaps as a result of those findings, in 2017, Section 68514 was added to the government code, which required additional detailed collections information to be submitted to the legislature. for those of you that were or worked on the CRT last year, you're familiar with these eight elements. This is the government code, which was that now requires each port and county collections program to report annually on eight new data elements. They're listed here, and this is in addition to the information that was already required in the Penal Code. To comply with the reporting requirement, as Donna indicated, we revised the CRT last year to capture the new data. Further, the CRT was reformatted to separate the data by period, as required by Subdivision B of the Government Code. And although not specified in the statute, the programs were asked to submit the template by July 16th last year in order to meet the October 1st deadline for submitting the new information to the Department of Finance and the Joint Legislative Budget Committee. Some programs noted last year that reporting the additional information was somewhat challenging for various reasons, such as the timing of the report, and we could definitely understand how having to submit the information just a few days after year-end closing could be problematic. For others, it was systems limitations or not having enough time to reprogram systems to pull the required information. However, I must add the programs were able to report additional and or revised information on the September CRT, and we were able to submit a complete and final report to the legislature timely. For this reporting period, because we are using the same CRT, there have been no changes to the last revision. So the last version, and the second time around, we expect that this process will be a bit easier this year and hopefully a bit less complicated, especially if everyone does their part. Let's talk about reporting responsibilities. The courts and the counties are ultimately responsible for submitting the CRT. However, the courts and the counties cannot fully comply with the reporting requirement without the help of third-party vendors. For the purpose of reporting, that would include the 14 private vendors, the FTB COD program, and the two intra-branch programs. In order to figure out if delinquent notices are more effective than repeatedly calling a debtor, we need to track and record the number of phone calls made and the number of notices that are mailed, as well as the respective costs. Last year, because contracting with a third-party vendor is considered a collections activity, the third-party vendors were not required to report information related to this area. Reporting was pretty much limited to the information that they submitted on the annual financial report. And as appropriate, when they submitted that information to you, the courts and the counties, you just input that information into the contact and other information sheet. However, we find that the underlying collections activities used by each third-party vendor are equally important and necessary to determine their effectiveness. So to the extent that information is available, it will be super helpful if our third-party vendors would provide a breakout of the collections activities performed as part of their collections process. So for the third-party vendors that are on the line, and I know there are a few, if you can pull the requested information from your systems and if this is cost neutral to the courts and the counties, please tie each collections activity that you perform under your collections program, such as your phone calls, your notices, your skip tracing, to the revenue that you collect, and to the associated costs. Okay, we thank you in advance for the help that you are hopefully will provide the courts and the counties. Please work directly with your court and county clients to determine how you can assist them. Donna will get into more detail on the collections activities and the contact sheet that I just referred to during the CRT walkthrough. So let's talk about meeting the reporting requirement. In order to comply with the old and new collections reporting requirement, last year the programs submitted two separate CRTs. Unfortunately, although our Office of Government Affairs are arduously trying to consolidate reporting, we were unable to consolidate the reporting for 2018-19. So please plan on submitting two CRTs again. The first template is due by July 16th, and the second one is due by September 1st. However, as mentioned during the revenue distribution training, Assembly Bill 1818 is still in the pipeline, and if approved, it will consolidate reporting, hopefully for the 2019-20 reporting period, What this means is that you will only be required to submit one CRT in September. So more to come on that. As soon as we get more information on that, we will definitely let you know. I want to thank you in advance for the timely submittal of both CRTs, and we'll get more on the more into the deadlines in a minute. But first, let me give you an update on the benchmark. So as mandated in 2008, the Judicial Council adopted the gross recovery and the success rate as performance measures to evaluate the effectiveness of your program and how well you were doing in collecting delinquent quarterly debt. The benchmarks were set at 34 and 31% respectively. But due to the ongoing changes related to the collection of delinquent quarterly debt, benchmarks that were established 10 years ago are in much need of reevaluation. They need to be reexamined and aligned with current practices and policies in the world of collection. So in response to that need, our unit released an RFP for benchmarking services. We received two proposals, and we are currently in the negotiation phase of the procurement process. If all goes as planned, the selected consultant will review existing data and reevaluate benchmarks in 2019-20. And new benchmarks could be in place for the 2021 reporting period. So last year, when we reformatted the CRT, the data now separated by period, as I mentioned earlier, and this required that the gross recovery and the success rate also be calculated separately by period. And while these individual calculations may provide a more valid collections rate for each period, the prior period collections rates are significantly lower. And we believe that this may be due to the long-standing hard-to-collect debt that is part of calculation. So while at this time I cannot say much about the anticipated new measures or benchmarks, I can talk about the importance of discharging uncollectible debt.
So really quickly, sorry to interrupt, Maria.
No problem.
We're getting a few comments through chat. If you are unable to hear, you need to let go of the audio on the WebEx and call into the conference line. Unfortunately, I don't know why there's an issue with that, but we've had problems in the past. So if you have logged in to the WebEx and you are trying to use the audio portion of the WebEx, please log out, come back in without audio, and call into the conference line, please. Hopefully that helps everyone. Sorry, Maria, please continue.
No problem. Thank you. Okay, so based on formulas generally used to calculate collections rate, if outstanding balances are not reduced, percentage rates will remain low, particularly as it relates to unpaid accounts established in prior periods. So please take this time to look into old accounts and write off uncollectible quarter to debt. This may help improve your individual rates in the future. And remember that the debtor is on the hook for unpaid balances, and as a collecting entity, you do have the authority to write off debt using the government code sections that are on the slide. And also, too, remember that there are tools available to help with the process. Private vendors can identify aged uncollectible accounts for you. It's part of their contract services. All you have to do is request this information from them. Similarly, the FTB COD, they track and include the age of delinquent accounts on their monthly reports. And lastly, we do have some tools on our website. There's an information sheet, a sample report, and a sample application that are all created to help you with the discharge process. So please visit the website and take a look at these tools. And if you have any questions in the process, send them to us. Our public mailbox address is on slide 43. So enough about metrics, benchmarks, and writing off debt. On to what you're all here for, fighting CRT. So the CRT consists of Excel worksheets, the first four listed here on the slide, and corresponding instructions and a glossary that are in Word format. The CRT for fiscal year 2018-19 is posted on our collections website, as I indicated earlier. And the link to it was also included on the confirmation email under materials that was sent to you. So please, if you haven't done so already, please, I think it'll be good for you to start looking at the CRC now. The categories and quality checklists are included in the workbook as reference tools. They're an additional resource to help you complete the CRT, so take a look at those as well. We'll go over each of these worksheets in more detail during the walkthrough. So shortly, I will shift from the PowerPoint to Excel. Donna will review the contact and other information sheet, and she will use the mock information from the data samples that was attached to the confirmation email. And then I will briefly go over the program report, the performance report, and then we'll walk through each section of the annual financial report together. Let's get started. Let's log out of here.
Okay, so hopefully everyone has gotten their audio worked out and you're all ready to go. So we're going to start with the contact and information tab. So under Penal Code 1463.010, each court and county shall jointly submit information to the Judicial Council in a reporting template on or before September 1st. That reporting template is the CRT, the one we're going to walk through. So step by step, let's get started. The CRT changed significantly in 2017 and 18 due to Government Code 68514. The quote-unquote new data is highlighted in green. Some areas of the contact and information sheet seem self-explanatory, but I think it is important to cover all of our bases in case we have some new folks on the line. So starting at the top in section one, this is a drop-down menu, and all you have to do is simply select the court or county that you're from. In section two and three, we need you to identify whom we should contact from both the court and the county should we need additional information and or clarification. Section four is another drop-down menu. In this one, we want you to tell us the order in which delinquent debt is referred or transferred between parties. For example, does it start in the with the court or the county first? Where is it sent to next? To the private vendor or to FTB? We need you to tell us. So rows 5 through 21 is where the meat and potatoes are, the total amount collected, the total number of cases and individuals associated with those cases, and the cost of all separated by collecting activity. Moving on to the next tab. A collection program is required under Penal Code 1463.007 to engage in 10 of the 16 collection activities. The activities may be collectively met by the program, the court, the county, the private vendor, FTB, or intra-branch. If a program meets all the criteria set forth under the Penal Code, then it is authorized to recover operating costs associated with the collection of delinquent court-ordered debt. Under item four, please check all the activities that are performed by your program. Rows 6 through 10 are mandatory, and that gets you halfway to 10. And then you need to choose at least 5 of the remaining components in rows 11 through 21. Currently, all 58 collection entities are comprehensive, which means that everyone is meeting at least 10 of the 16 activities. So good job to all of you. Next tab, we're on the category tasks. For the purposes of this report, the collection activities have been grouped into 9 categories. The category task tab provides an explanation of the collection activities per Penal Code 1463.007. This tab is meant to provide clarity about what tasks and activities have been grouped together. A condensed version of this table can be found at the bottom of the contact information tab. So this is how the CRT actually looks. For example, you can see rows 9, 16, 17, and 18 are all part of category 4, or skip tracing. So moving on to items 5 through 7, or the activities tab, let's take a look at item 5. This identifies the total amount collected per activity. For example, in sample 1, the debtor, Mickey Mouse's friend Clarabelle Cow, she signed an agreement while the case was with the private vendor to pay $30 for the next 12 months. By the end of the fiscal year, 6 payments have been made. So on row 14 under item 5, we would report $180, or the 6 payments times the $30. In sample 2, we're told that the private vendor collected $1,948. In row 14, under the private vendor, that's where we'll enter that data. The total collected of $2,128 in these two samples, you can see on row 22 under item 5. This amount should equal column Z, row 26 on the annual financial report. And Maria will demonstrate that when she goes through the annual financial report tab. So item 6A and B is meant to capture the number of cases and the number of associated individuals related to those cases. So in sample 1, we learned that Clarabelle Cow failed to respond to 2 delinquency notices and 3 attempted phone calls. We also learned that the case was referred to a private vendor. With that information under item 6A, row 6, row 7, and row 14 are all going to record one activity for each. We report one in each category regardless of the number of notices mailed or telephone calls attempted. In sample 2, we learned that 15 delinquent cases were referred to the private vendor. So we will report 15 in row 14 under item 6A. Between the two samples, we have 16 in all on row 14. Again, row 22 provides a total 18 in this between the two samples. 6B. Populating item 6B is a bit easier, if you ask me, as we're only going to track the number of individuals, regardless of the number of cases. In sample 1, although there were several activities related to this case, there was only one individual involved, Clarabelle Cow. So enter 1 in item 6B on row 8. In sample 2, there were 15 cases. Each case pertained to one individual. This could have been Horse Collar, Pluto, Captain Pete, and 12 of Mickey's closest friends. So we will report 15 under item 6B, row 8. Although the samples seem like the cases and individuals are a one-to-one ratio, they are not. Item 6A is meant to track and record each case by activity that the program utilizes as part of the collection effort. Report the total number of cases by category at the end of the fiscal year.
Or Miguel.
Item 6B tracks and records one individual in category 3, or row 8, regardless of the number of associated cases in 6A. Report the total number of individuals at the end of the fiscal year. Whew. Item 7, are y'all still with me? Because this is a lot of information. Item 7 is used to track and record the total administrative cost per collection activity. Report the total cost in the corresponding category as a negative entry at the end of the fiscal year. So administrative costs are interpreted to mean operating costs, as defined by the guidelines and standards for cost recovery. In sample 1 with Clarabelle Cow, the mock data assumes that the total operating costs, which includes staff, salary, paper, postage, and phone bills totaled $33. So to the extent possible, costs should be reported separately by activity on the contact and other information sheet. Operating costs are reported in a lump sum, however, on the annual financial report. So let's put $13 in category 1, or row 6, and $20 in category 2, or row 7. And again, remember to enter as a negative number. In the sample, we were told that the private vendor charged 15% for their services. By the end of the fiscal year, our debtor, Clarabelle Cow, had paid $180. So $180 times that 15%, the cost is $27. This goes in category 8 or row 14. Yes. Sample 2.
I'm chiming. Who is it? What is it?
Can you guys mute your phones, please, if possible? Sample 2, with all of Mickey's friends, we learned that the operating costs recovered were $292, or 15% of the $1,948 that was collected. Again, this goes in category 8 or row 14. Total cost for the collection agency in category 8 is $319 in the two samples. Total for all activities, again, row 22, $352. Item 7's total on row 22 should equal the annual financial report column, AA, row 26. And again, Maria will tie those nice and neatly together for us as we go through the samples. So I realize that this is a very simplistic sample, and what you guys are working with is much larger and much more complex. The idea here is to demonstrate how the data should be interpreted and where the data should be entered. So moving on to the program report, Maria, take it away.
Thank you, Donna. Okay, so moving on to the next tab of the workbook. For those of you that are familiar with the CRT and the annual reporting process, this will serve as a refresher. If you are new to collections, as Donna indicated, you might find the information a bit technical, maybe sometimes confusing, but don't worry. If you've been tasked with working on the CRT this year, we will help you get through it. So with that, program report. In this report, please describe the extent to which your program is meeting the collections best practices. Please check all the best practices that your program is meeting. And for those that have not been implemented, just tell us why and whether an implementation plan is in the works. And you will do that here in the comments or explanations section. As we mentioned earlier, the Judicial Council is required to report on the extent to which each court and county is following the best practices for its collections program, and this is under the Penal Code. There is no benchmark or set amount of best practices that must be met. On the report to the legislature, we include only the number of practices that is implemented by each program. Last year, in 2017-18, 15 programs met 20 or more of the best practices. So definitely doing a great job in using all the available tools out there. At the bottom of the page, there's some topics here. Here we just ask that you check those areas that you would like to see in future trainings. Check all of them or tell us in the comments section if there are any other topics that you would like for us to address in future trainings. Okay, on to the performance report. In this report, we ask that you provide detail about your program's gross recovery and success rate. What do you attribute the increase or decrease to? And the Judicial Council is required to report on the performance of each collections program, which is measured by the gross recovery and the success rate. One thing I might add is that similar to last year, in the statewide collections report that goes to the legislature, we will include an explanation on the reason behind the low statewide collections performance rate. And that is, as you know, because of the changes in the CRT. Although the calculation didn't change, the separation of the data affected the benchmark. So we will include an explanation on that and the fact that we're looking to update the benchmark, hopefully. So That said, although the decrease or increase might be attributed to the revisions to the CRT, please explain your individual rates if the change is due to something other than the revisions to the CRT, such as a one-time discharge or a newly implemented practice. We'd like to hear about that too, to include it in your individual program report. Remember that the information that you provide here is included in the individual program report, so you want to provide as much detail as possible here in this section, Green. So if you intend on providing additional or revised information in the September CRT, this is where you want to tell us that the information that you're submitting might not be complete or that you expect some revisions, and we will make a note of that for September. Okay, so on to the annual financial report. It's kind of small. You guys have it in front of you, so please bear with me here. I just want to show the arrows here. So the annual financial report is intended to capture collections activity only for non-delinquent and delinquent quarter fines, fees, forfeitures, penalties, and assessments that are imposed by law or court order in traffic and criminal cases. That would include juvenile delinquency cases. What you don't want to include in this report are any fines, fees, penalties, or assessments collected from non-criminal cases, such as civil, probate, mental health, and juvenile dependency cases. Do not include those collections in here. So the annual financial report separates information into a few sections, as you can see here. Starting at the very top, the top section should capture information for all collection transactions for the current reporting period only. For this period, that would be July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. The columns highlighted in green are those new data elements that are listed in the government code that were added to the reporting requirements last year and to the CRT. Any debt that was established, referred, or transferred prior to July 1st, 2018 should be reported here in the prior period section. Then all activity that is recorded here is going to be captured here in the combined section. This section is formula-driven except for these two cells here, I mean these two columns. Here you're going to manually input your ending case count and your ending balances. That this section, again, is you don't have to input anything. This section here is capturing our the gross recovery rate and the success rate. It is also, because we separated the data into three sections, it is also capturing a collections rate for your combined total. And again, we hopefully expect to see some change here in the near future in how we're looking at your collections rates. This section here will capture information on victim restitution, that is direct victim restitution, as well as any other justice-related reimbursement. This information was captured in the, has always been captured in CRT. Here, what we did was we just combined it into one section, and it's not separated by period. I'm going to go into that, into each section individually, so I'll leave that for the next few slides or tabs. Then lastly, you have a signature block. Because of the timing for the July CRT, and because we found that the majority of programs submitted additional or revised information in September, if you can obtain signatures from both the court and the county, on the July CRT, that is perfectly fine. Go ahead and get those signatures. But if you find that it's going to delay the submittal of the CRT, then just submit it unsigned. It's okay. That said, because the September CRT, the information that's submitted on the September CRT is considered final, we ask that that CRT be signed, as is the case in every year. So again, September CRT must be signed. So next tab, we're going to look at the quality checklist. This the quality criteria checklist were pulled out of the annual financial report last year. If you're familiar with the older template, it was 2 pages long. Now it's all being collapsed into one. And that's because we pulled these sections out of the annual financial report. The checklists are also separated by periods. You have the current period, prior periods inventory, and then your combined section. And what each one is doing is just sort of like a self-audit tool. It will tell you what information should be reported in column by a given row. So please use it. It's helpful, and it will help us capture or gather data that is standard across the state. So the next tab is CRT. The current period section of the collections reporting template. The cells are self-populated. We populated them to make the training a little bit easier to follow and also to make it faster. So let's start with column, at the very top, column A. This is just the telling us the reporting period, which is July 1st, 2018 through June 30th, 2019. And I hope that I'm not going too fast, but I just want to assure you that if I am going too fast, especially if you're new, the instructions that are posted on our website, they go into much more detail. And again, you can always send us your questions if this is a little bit too much to grasp. So again, this is just going to tell us the fiscal year of the reporting period, so you're just going to insert it. I don't recall if we populated in the CRT that's posted. So if not, then just go ahead and put the date in there. Next, information related to non-delinquent collections, row 3. So non-delinquent revenue has always been captured on the CRT. But what was added to the CRT per the government code was column D, or the information on the cases that are related to the or associated to the revenue that is collected. So using the sample data, the court collected $60 from one case that is set up by installments. So here in column D, you report one case and the $60 collected in column E. Again, in column D, you want to input the case that is associated to the revenue, not the number of payments made. Now we'll remind you of that as we move along. Okay, so now we're moving on to rows 4 through 9. This is data related to delinquent accounts. And here you're going to report those transactions that occurred during the reporting period only. So for the sample data that was provided to you, there's one case with outstanding balance of $348 that was established as delinquent by the court. The debtor failed to respond to phone calls and delinquent notices from the court, so his or her case was forwarded to a vendor for collections at a 15% collections commission. After a few phone calls and skip tracing, the vendor was able to locate the debtor, and an installment agreement was signed for $30 a month. At year end, 6 payments had been received, total of $180 collected, and the account was current or up to date. So in column B, you want to report the number of cases of new cases established, referred, or transferred to each respective collections program within the reporting period. This includes cases that were previously established but never referred or transferred to collections, as those would be considered new. So in column B, row 6, private vendor, you will report or input one case. If multiple cases are bundled into one, you would still report only one case. So, for example, if 2 cases with small balances are bundled to meet the $100 required, the minimum requirement for referral to the FTD COD, you would still report one case.
Oh, crap.
In column C, you report the value of cases that correspond to case counts. So the case count in column B. Late postings from prior years should not be reported in this column. That case value should be reported as part of the balance in column N, okay, part of your your ending balance from the prior year. So in column C, row 6, you'd input $348, the amount that was referred to collection. In column D, you want to report the number of cases with payments received during the reporting period that are directly associated with the revenues collected in column E. In the sample, 6 payments were received from the individual, but we're reporting just 1 in column D. And that's because regardless of the number of payments that are received on a given case on the CRT, you're only going to report 1 case. You're not reporting the number of payments. You're only reporting the case that is associated to the revenue that's collected. Okay, so in column E, you're going to report all revenue collected from cases established, referred, and transferred during the reporting period only. In column 6, column E, row 6, you'd input 180 in total revenue collected from the vendor. In column F, you want to report the cost of collections that was recovered for the reporting period. Here, we input minus $27, which is the commission cost that the vendor invoiced you for. Cost should be entered as a negative number unless you are posting a reversal. Okay, I wanted to add for those of you that are new to collections, if you would like some more information on cost recovery, there are guidelines and standards for cost recovery that are posted on our website. Okay, so sample one doesn't include any adjustments or discharge debt for the current period. So columns G and H are going to be left blank. But I wanted to mention for discharge that since unpaid quarter debt is generally discharged after 5, 10, or more years, the amount would be reported typically in the prior period section. However, there could be that rare instance where you've established a delinquent account, let's say in August, and the individual is reported deceased within the same reporting period, let's say in December. It could happen. If the death certificate or the death has been verified by the DMV or by death certificate and there's no estate to pursue, then the case could be deemed uncollectible and discharged, and that value would be rightfully reported in this section. Okay, so on to column I. The cells in this particular column contain a formula to calculate the change in value of cases as a result of transactions that were reported for the period, so you do not need to input any data. The formula will pick up the totals. Columns J, K, and L were added by the government code to calculate the percentage rate by which fines and fees are being defaulted on, as required by item 8 of the government code. So determining how to calculate the default rate was kind of tricky, because while the value of debt that's reported in column C is delinquent, there is no actual promise to pay by the individual. Therefore, the unpaid balance at the end of the year could not be considered as defaulted on. However, because some portion of the debt is paid in installments, we are calculating the default rate by using the original value of the case that is set up on an installment agreement and the unpaid balance at year end. So in column J, you would report the original value of all cases that are set up on installment agreements, whether it's an accounts receivable or a monthly installment plan during the reporting period. So in this column, row 6, you'd input $348, which was the original amount that was set up on an installment plan. Although the value here is also reported on column C, the amount that is reported in column J is not used in any calculation on the CRT. So it's not being picked up to calculate your gross recovery or success rate. So there's no double counting. This information here is just strictly being used for us to try to determine what the default rate is. So in column K, at the end of the fiscal year, you want to report the unpaid balance for cases that are set up on installment plans during the reporting period. If the individual stopped making payments and failed to reinstate the payment plan by June 30th, then that balance is considered defaulted on and should be reported in column K. So column K, in this particular sample, you would report zero if the account was current or up to date at year end. So then in column L, you see a 0% default rate. And this column is also formula driven, so you don't have to input any data. It will just capture the difference between column J and column K. Okay, so because individuals may default and reinstate an installment agreement during the reporting period, for the purpose of this reporting or this reporting template, the case is being defaulted on only if the individual has stopped making payments as agreed and at the end of the fiscal year, the plan has not been reinstated. You have no communication with them, you know, they've fallen off the face of the earth, then that case could be being defaulted on, and you would report the unpaid balance in column K. Okay. If for any reason you cannot report the original value of debt that is set up on installments, the unpaid balance, or the amount that's defaulted on, just go ahead and explain that in the performance report. Okay, on to the prior period section. A lot of boxes on this one.
Yeah.
Frank. So this section separates old data from newly established debt consistent with Section B of the government code. That's what requires this, that we separate current by everything else that's in the inventory. So for this section, we'll use information that was provided on sample data number 2, and we'll start with non-delinquent collections, column O and column P. So in column O in the courts line, you would input $23. For the number of non-delinquent cases that were established on a non-delinquent account, and then the amount that was collected for the year, which was $2,823. Okay, so that's all that you need to report for your non-delinquent collection. Moving on to the private vendors line and what they've collected, rows 12 to 17 capture transactions that occurred during the reporting period on delinquent accounts. Which would include transactions related to debt that were established, referred, or transferred at any time prior to July 1st, 2018. In column M, you want to report the number of delinquent cases previously referred or transferred to collections, including any late postings from the prior year. For each collecting entity, you want to enter the total number of cases in their inventory at the beginning of the period. This number should reconcile with the ending balance that was reported in 2017-18 in column AE of the annual financial report. Okay, so in column M, row 14, you input 34 cases. And this was taken from last year's training sample. Column N, you want to report the value of delinquent cases that were previously referred or transferred to collections, including the value of cases with late postings reported in column M. This value should equal the ending value reported in 2017-18 in column AF. Again, you could refer back to these call-out boxes if you get stuck, but again, they should reconcile to your ending balances from the prior year. So in row 14, the 93-99 was carried over from last year. If the number or value of cases reported in these columns, column M or N, differ from the ending balance reported for the prior year, again, just explain that in the performance report. And we ask you to explain variances in the performance report, kind of to keep a new record of your program's activity, not only in case you get audited. But if you have a new staff that comes in, sometimes we have been asked for prior year collection reporting templates. So it's always good to document any variances or anything related to your program that you want us to keep on file. So that said, let's move to column O. Here you want to report the number of cases the payments received during the reporting period. And this column, the private vendors line, row 14, you input 15. Again, you report the number of cases of payments received and not the actual number of payments. Ensure that there was more than 15 payments that were received, the total, the amount that was collected which in this case was $1,948 that you would input in column C. Okay. In column Q, you report the cost of collections recovered for the period. For the sample, the vendor charges 15% commission. So in column Q, row 14, you want to input minus or a negative number of 292. Again, you always want to report cost as a negative entry, unless you're posting a reversal. Okay. In this sample, we do have an adjustment that was ordered by the court. In this column, you want to report quarter adjustments such as suspensions, reductions, or dismissals, or any alternative payments such as community service or time that is served in custody in lieu of fine, or any other non-cash adjustment that occurred during the reporting period. So here in the private vendors line, we're going to report $729. Adjustments and discharged amounts should be entered as a positive number. It doing this reduces the amount of the outstanding debt. And you want to input it as a positive number because the way the formulas work, they calculate it or take it out of your total. So just trust me. Put it in as a negative. If you put it in as a negative, it will increase the amount of your debt. So put it in as a positive. Okay. In column S, you want to report the total dollar value of debt that was discharged during the reporting period. Based on the example, the amount that was discharged was $2,739. One thing to keep in mind is that if the discharge was not actually approved, it's still sitting in someone's inbox and still pending approval. You do not want to report it as a discharge. You want to keep it on under your balance, which would be column N. You want to keep it in your balance until it's approved using the discharge process. Okay, so again, in columns U and B, you want to report the original value of debt that is established. But in this section, what you're going to do is you're going to carry over the ending balance from the prior year. And using last year's example, I took both the totals in the current and in the prior period that was reported. The current and the prior period total, and this example assumes that no payments were received against those accounts during the reporting period. So the default is calculated at 100% because there were no payments received. But if there were payments received against those installments, that you would include the unpaid balance here, reducing the percent, the default rate. So that is the prior period section. Want to do a break now?
Sure. So let's give everybody about 5 minutes. So let's come back right at 3:00. Give you guys a chance to use the restroom or refill your coffee so you can stay awake for the last little bit here. The exciting news is that we've got a couple more sections on the CRT. The combined section is pretty much all like calculated for you. And then we'll hear from FTB as well. So also a reminder, and I'll say it again, if you have questions, please submit them to me, to Donna Newman, through the chat, and we will address the questions as we go along, okay? All right, everybody, we'll hear back from you or be back on the line at 3:00. Thank you. Okay, hopefully everyone stretched, did their seventh inning stretch or whatever you needed, and we are going to pick up on the next tab that is the combined period. And we're going to, so a couple things. One, please mute your phone. Otherwise, we get to listen to your conversation. So unless you want to talk to the group, which is awesome, but otherwise, please mute your phone. And secondly, if you have questions, please submit them through the chat to my attention to Donna Newman. Or you can always submit questions to the mailbox also. So, Maria, you're up.
Thanks, Donna. So before I leave this tab, I just wanted to say again that the data that's captured in this section, the default section, is solely used to calculate the percentage rate by which individuals are defaulting on payment plans, and it is not possible to cover in the success rate calculation. Okay, so just keep that in mind when you're reporting. We're not double counting anything, so you're good. Okay, the combined total. All cells in the columns in this particular section, except for columns A, E, and AF, which are in white, contain formulas that pick up values from the current and the prior period sections on top of the annual financial report. So there's no data entry required on your end. So for example, the 35 cases in column X represent one new delinquent case that was reported in column B, and 34 old cases that were carried over from the prior year and that were reported in column M. The 9747 is picking up the 348 established in the current period from column C, and the 9,399 that was carried over from the prior year that was reported in column N. Column Z is the total revenue collected. That is total of 2128. And then column AA is total cost for both periods. What I wanted to do here was to showcase how these two amounts reconcile to the amounts that are reported in the contact and other information sheet. So you have total of $2,128 that was collected and $352 in corresponding costs that were recovered. If for any reason you cannot reconcile these numbers, that's fine. Don't try to balance your numbers using the CRT. Just go ahead and tell us in the performance report what you think happened. I know the last year the programs had difficulty reconciling the, especially with the information on the contact and other information sheet, and that is fine. Like I said, we anticipate that as you get more familiar with the reporting structure, particularly in the contact and other information sheet, that these numbers are going to get a bit more accurate. So do the best that you can to provide us accurate information. So Column AB, the $729 captures the adjustments that were reported up at the top, and again, no data entry required and so forth. You have the amount that was discharged. Then the change in value in column AD, it contains a formula. It calculates the change or the activity, the amount that was collected, the adjustment, and the discharge. And in column AE and AF, you want to input the number of cases at the end of the year. Keep in mind that because some cases are on payment plans and monthly installments are ongoing, the ending number will not necessarily reflect change. You will only see a decrease in case count if a case is actually closed or disclosed. So based on the sample, there were six cases that were paid in full and nine that are associated to the debt that has been written off. So you would take those out of your reporting template. So this, in this case, the 35 original cases is reduced to 20. That's the amount that you would, the case count that you would report on column AB. Column AF, so you can see there's sort of a formula to capture the total amount that you started with and then the change in value during the year based on transactions to give you a final ending balance. Now, if for any reason that is not the amount that you're reconciling to your case management or your accounting system, you want to input the amount that you feel comfortable with, that you could support the documentation. So, for example, if your ending balance is actually 4551, that's the amount that you input, and then you're going to get another balance. And that's because column AG has a formula to calculate the change in value. Basically, it's looking at the amount that was established minus your change in value, and that is why you're getting out of balance, because that amount is just not reconciling with the formula. So again, you don't want to use the CRT to balance your numbers. If you are reconciling to the 4551, then that's the number that we want you to report. Okay. So let me put it back just for the purpose of the training. And again, you would explain that variance in the performance report, because the performance report is the catch-all of everything. That's what we use to write your, that's the report that we use to write your individual program reports. So you provide us with an explanation of the variance. Okay. So on to the gross recovery and success rate section. The cells in this section contain a formula that calculates the collections rate of each program and displays a percentage that represents the established benchmark by current and prior periods, as well as a combined total. For this particular training, it's not populated, but you will see the numbers or the percentages in the last tab. What do I want to see on this one? So the gross recovery and success rate calculations do not account for non-delinquent collections. They do not account for those totals. Nor does it pick up the direct victim restitution or any amounts reported under the other justice-related reimbursement. This is strictly delinquent collection. Not much there because there's no numbers. So we'll move on to the victim restitution and other justice-related reimbursement section. This section captures the ending balances, both the number and the value of cases from prior year as well as for the current reporting period. This data, however, is not separated by period. What is separated is the collections between what you're collecting in from just other justice-related reimbursements and victim restitution. That is separated. To the extent that you can split it out, we want to know how much of direct or victim restitution is going directly to the victim was collected in column 18. So that was separated. So starting in columns AN and AO, you're going to report your value, your number and value of cases that were previously referred or transferred to collections. You'd enter the ending balances from the prior fiscal year. So here you would look at columns AW and columns AB from your last CRT, and you would include that value here. Then column AP is going to pick up the number of cases that were established for the reporting period and the corresponding value in column AQ. Okay. Column AR, you want to report the amount that was collected, again, only for other justice-related reimbursements. And column AS, any court-ordered adjustments, you want to report that in column AS. And in column AT, again, the gross revenue collected for victim restitution only. Column AU, these cells contain a formula, so you don't have to input anything. It's formula-driven. Lastly, in column AB and AW, you want to report the number and value of cases at the end of the fiscal year, and this would include victim restitution and other criminal justice-related fees. If the total reported in column AW does not add up or the value is not round to the nearest whole number, an error message may result in column AX. And again, that's because it's formula driven to pick up the activities that happen during the period. So verify the values, and if they're correct, and then you reconcile to your case management or accounting system, so leave it as is and just give us a brief explanation as to the variance in the performance report. Okay. So this is the last tab is the fully populated annual financial report. If you've been inputting the data as you go along, these should be the totals that you're picking up by section. Okay, the one case, the 34 cases, the total of 35, and the combined total, your total cost, adjustments, your change in value. Okay, here you can see that the formula picked up the gross recovery and the success rate. I mentioned earlier about discharge. Because the success rate is picking up actual dollars or measuring collections rate as it relates to dollars that are collected, you see here that the rate of collections is a little bit lower than the recovery rate. And that is because of the amount, this amount, in your prior period. Okay, so if you have old unpaid debt that is sitting in your books, you want to consider looking into discharging those amounts so that your rates can improve in the future, especially if the benchmarks change. So just keep that in mind. So to recap, just a few things that I would like for you to keep in mind. You want to report only fines, fees, forfeitures, penalties, and assessments collected from traffic. In criminal cases, this would include infractions, misdemeanors, and felonies. Any monies that are collected from your civil, probate, family, mental health, or juvenile dependency cases should not be included in the CRP. On the cents, we found that the inclusion of cents may cause an error message on the template, so please round your figures to the nearest whole number to avoid this. And again, the CRT has not changed. Please use a version that is posted on our collections website titled Fiscal Year 2018-19. Gross recovery and the success rate benchmarks. These two have not changed. They are still 34 and 31% respectively. And as I noted earlier, we will explain if they are low again this year, we will explain that in the statewide report on collections to the legislature. And that is all that I have. Do we have any questions?
I have not received anything through chat just yet.
Okay.
So I think with that,
sure.
Rashawn?
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yep. Rashawn, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Well, Franchise Tax Board, take it away.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rashawn Anderson. I'm a supervisor with the Franchise Tax Board Court Order Debt Collection Program. Joining me will be Valerie Reno, the program manager as well. I'll start with a brief history. In July 2018, our previous program manager, Carrie Detterding, who's now enjoying retirement life, prepared a spreadsheet for each of our clients in order to help them complete the CRT for the first time. This was offered as a one-time service to our clients. Due to the level of effort needed and due to the limited resources, we're not able to provide this as a reoccurring process. Okay. Next screen. Thank you. So on the screen here, you have an example of our CRT assistance guide. The figures here are we use a number. For this example, we're going to use our client Alameda Central Collection for this example. And taking a look at the template, you'll see the figures are separated by current and prior year. Current year is defined as any case received 12 months or less, and prior year would be a case received 12 months or greater. Under the case inventory and payment section, you'll see in parentheses the word column followed by letters. This guide is to advise our clients where to plug the figures on the actual CRT. Next screen, please. Okay, now let's look at our FTB monthly report. The FTP client monthly report is our June edition, which is our fiscal end of the year report. The numbers you would use on this report are circled there in the lower bottom corner in red, and that would be the case age, case count, and case summary numbers. Next slide, please. Okay. Let's take a closer look at the figure that we'll be using. Okay. To calculate your percentages, you would add your current year cases, which consist of 0 to 6 months and 7 to 12 months. You're going to add both percentages and round to the nearest whole number. For prior year, consists of cases in the 13 to 48 months and anything greater than 48 months. These percentages will help calculate your case inventory and your payment summary. Now let's take a look at how to calculate your case inventory. So you're going to take your percentage of your current year, which is 61%, and you're going to multiply that by the total case count, which is 52,958. Okay, and that gives you a grand total of 32,304. And you're going to take that same formula, and you're going to calculate your prior year of 39% multiplied by the 52,958, and that's going to give you a total of 20,654. Next slide, please. Now you're going to plug those figures into your guide under current year for the 32,000 and prior year for the 20,000. And as you can see, the guide advises you the case inventory volume. You're going to plug that onto your actual CRT under column B and M. Next slide. Okay. So as you can see, you will plug the 32,304 in column B under franchise tax board corridors or debt for current year. And for prior year, you're going to put it in column M under franchise tax board corridor or debt. Next slide, please. All right. Now let's take a look at your case summary. Following the same formula for current year and prior year, for prior year, you're going to use the 39%. And multiply by the total case summary, which is 26,837,162, and that gives you a grand total of 10,466,493. For the current year, you're going to take 61%. You're going to multiply that by the 26,837, and that's going to give you a total of 16,370. Okay, next slide. So on your guide, you're going to go ahead and plug those figures into your current year and your prior year. And under case inventory value, the guide instructs you to place those numbers in the column C and N. Next slide. Okay. And on your CRT, as you can see, we place the $16 million under current year under column C, and we place the $10 million under prior year under column N. Next slide. Okay, now let's take a look at your payment summary. Again, following the same formula, a lot of this is redundant, but you're going to go for your current year, you're going to take the 61%, and you're going to multiply it by your payment summary value total of 83,967. That gives you a total of 51,220. And for your prior year, you're going to take the 39% and multiply it by the 83,967. It gives you a total of 32,747. Next slide, please. All right, and on your guide, you're going to go ahead and put the 51,000 in the current year, and on for prior year, you put the 32,000, and you can see under payment summary, number of case payments, the guide instructs you to place those figures into column D and O. So now we're going to head over to the next slide, please, to the CRT. And you're going to place the 51,000 under column D for current year, and you're going to place the 32,000 under column O for prior year. Next slide. Okay, now we're going to look at how to calculate the payment value. So for current year, you're going to take the 61%, and you're going to multiply it by the payment summary value of $2,516,355, and it gives you a total of $1,534,977. For the prior year, you're going to take the 39% and multiply it by the $2,516,355, and it gives you a total of $981,379. Next slide. Okay. Now on the guide, you're going to place it under your current year, the 1,534, and under prior year, the 981,379. And under payment summary value of case payments, the guide instructs you to place these figures under column E and P. Next slide. Okay. And as you can see, for current year, we placed the 1,534,97 under column E. And for the prior year, under column P, we did the 981,379. Next slide. Okay. Now we're going to take a look at the cost of collection. So FTB collects, FTB takes 15% of each payment collected. This is our cost of doing business fee. The 15% is multiplied by both current year value and prior years. To figure out the total amount due, for this example, you would take the 15% and multiply it by your current year value of $1,534,977. That gives you a total of $230,247. You're gonna use the same formula to calculate the prior year of the 15% of $981,379. That gives you a total of $147,207. Next slide. Okay, and so you're gonna go ahead and place the $230,247 under current year and the $147,000 under prior year. And the guide instructs you under cost of collection to place those figures under column F and Q. Next slide. Okay, as you can see on your CRT, you're going to place for current year under column F the $230,247. And for your prior year under column Q, you're going to place the $147,207. Okay. Now let's take a look at the value of cases on installment agreements. So using an installment agreement total value, the total value is located under your payment summary on your client monthly report. And on this example here, it's highlighted in yellow. You get to $258,969.17. To calculate the current year, you're going to multiply your current year percentage of 61% by an installment agreement value of which equals $157,971. The same formula will be used to calculate your prior year, and you'll use the 39%, and it'll give you a total of $100,998. Next slide, please. Okay. So on your guide, you're going to go ahead and put the $157,971 on current year and $100,998 under prior year. The guide instructs you to place those figures under column J and U. Next slide. Okay. And as you can see under column J, we put the $157,971, and under prior year column U, we put the $100,998. Okay. That concludes our presentation. At this time, I'll answer any questions you may have.
Haven't received anything through the chat.
Okay.
Or if anyone wants to take themselves off mute and ask a question to the group, feel free. All right, not being heard. Sounds like everyone's got this down pretty well. Maria, shall we move on?
We might have a question.
By all means, go ahead.
The victim counts in the bottom section of the CRT, are those excluded from the top section?
Yes, okay. They are.
Just wanted to clarify that for sure. Yes. Thanks.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yes, they are.
Do we have any other questions through chat that you've received, Maria? Nothing?
Not that I've seen.
Okay. All right, then we'll keep moving along.
Yeah, on to the second part of the presentation. So what do we do with the information that's submitted on the CRT? The information that you provide on the CRT is analyzed and revised as necessary with help from the contact person that is identified on the contact and other information sheet. We will work on the individual program report, and once complete, the draft individual program report is submitted to the contact for their initial review and approval. Once that is complete, it is then sent, the IPR is then sent to the CEOs and the CAOs for their final review and approval. That individual program report is attached to the report of statewide collections of quarter debt that is submitted to the legislature, both in October and in December. So the approval process is pretty long. It's well over a month. So this year we are again on a time crunch. So in order to allow sufficient time for everyone that is involved in the review and approval process, both on our end and on yours, we ask that you submit both CRTs on time. Okay. And so what do the timelines look like? The first report is due to the legislature October 1st, and to meet that deadline, we have requested or from the courts and the counties that you submit the first CRT by July 16th. The second CRT is due by September 1st. This CRT should include any additional revised information that you did not include in the July report. Again, due to the timing, we understand that some of the CRTs may not be complete. Because September 1st is a Sunday, followed by a holiday, we ask that you submit the CRTs in final format by September 3rd. And if you really want to enjoy your Labor Day holiday, you can send them a lot earlier, out of sight, out of mind. Also, as a reminder, because the due date is in the statute, we cannot grant any extension. So if you cannot submit by the 3rd, just submit as soon as possible. In terms of the report to the legislature that is due on December 31st, in order for us to meet that deadline, the report must be completed and in front of the Judicial Council for approval at their November 15th business meeting. And this is the last meeting of the year, so we don't have one in December. So again, please submit the September CRT on time and to the extent possible in a complete and final format. That is all I have. I thank you all in advance for the timely submittal of your CRTs and for the hard work that you do on these CRTs and on considering these deadlines. Again, if you have any questions as you start completing the CRTs, please send us your questions to our mailbox. They are here. If you have any questions for the STB, this is their public mailbox address, and there's two for our unit, as well as the URL for our collections and revenue distribution website, where you will find all the resources that you need. And with that, I'll hand it over to Donna. Thank you.
So, if any other questions, like I said, feel free to, if you're not comfortable with the chat, go ahead and, you know, take yourself off mute, ask us anything that you want. Like Maria indicated, we're always available and we're here to help. With that, I think that we have concluded. We appreciate your hard work and we look forward to working with you. So y'all have a great day and thanks for being here with us.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you, and goodbye.